Blog Talk Radio.
6 Degrees is another fine show brought to you by Law of Attraction Radio Network.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
We are all connected by just 6 degrees of separation. Somehow, some way, we just need to open up the dialogue to see where our connections lie. Welcome to the 6 Degrees Show with your host, Anthony Bryce.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. Just depends on where you are in the world. This is Anthony Bryce, the host of 6 Degrees, and 6 Degrees absolutely is about connecting. We're all connected somehow, some way, and it's through the dialogue that we really reveal those essential connections. And tonight, we bring you a very special show. We'll be talking with Yael and Doug Powell. Yael and Doug Powell are here to bring you messages received through mystic and vision. Yael and Doug, I'm just going to take this straight from the website because I just can't do this ad-libbing it. I can't do it justice without just reading it straight from. We are here to bring you messages received through mystic and visionary Yael Powell's beautiful communion with God. Messages calling to humanity to open our hearts to spirit. The most important and most repeated message is how passionately, how deeply God knows and loves every one of us. We are God's children, the cells of God's heart. As we open our hearts to God, we also open our hearts to our twin flame or soulmate with whom we were created. And this is going to be the fun part of the show, everybody. Y'all are going to get to know all this stuff. Twin flames are the forces of creation, the two strands of the cosmic DNA from which life and love come forth. God is calling us to open our hearts to our twin flame in service to the return of love and only love to this world. God is asking us to turn back to God and say a deep yes to love. This whole story tonight we are going to be talking and is going to be told in Yael and Doug's interpretation of the information that's in their book, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, The Eternal Heart of Love. World, this is Yael and Doug Powell. Yael and Doug Powell, this is The World on 6 Degrees. How are you all tonight?
We're great.
We're wonderful. How are you?
I'm really, really good. And, you know, I was going to do other stuff, but it's just this information just is so beautiful. It's so, so pure, and I can't wait to hear you talk to the listening audience. And the listening audience, if you want to call in and talk with Yael or Doug, the call-in number is 646-915-9567. Again, the call-in number is 646-915-9567. We already have callers in the queue, so please, in about 10 minutes, we'll be taking phone calls. In the meantime, if you have any questions and want to interact in the chat room, just go to the Blog Talk Radio's area and you can interact in the chat room or on the Law of Attraction Radio Network site. There we go. How are you all tonight? Hello, Yael and Doug.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
They're screaming hi back from all over the world.
Wow.
Doug. Doug.
Yes.
Where did you meet Yael? And then Yael, I guess you can tell your side of the story.
Well, I met her at a Sufi retreat in very far western Arkansas. And I spotted her. She was laying on a bed behind a spiritual teacher at this retreat. I was homeless at the time, and during lunch I met her, and after lunch I sat with her behind the teacher, and we couldn't speak because the teacher was speaking to 100 or so people. And so we just kind of stared at each other for a few hours. And after that talk was over, she was taken home. And the next day, she had given me her phone number. The next day, I called her and I said, can I stop in and visit you on my way home from the retreat? And she said, that would be great. And I moved in and never left. And that was 23 years ago.
So my side of the story is that I had been really calling for my highest love, calling for, at the time I didn't have words for it, like twin flame or soulmate, but I just knew in my heart what I was calling. And I'd been, it was the time when that song, Bring Me a Higher Love, was popular, and I used to take my little drives and just scream it at the top of my lungs, you know, singing along with the song. And the week before the retreat, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was shown a man, and he was standing with his back to me, and he turned around, and I knew this was the connection I'd been calling for. And he had the bluest eyes. I just saw his eyes so clearly. And when he walked into the room at that retreat, the first thing I saw was his eyes, and I just, you know, I remembered them. So then I spent 4 hours looking into those eyes, and that was that for me.
Ooh, so Yael, you're an eye lady.
Well, certainly, because that's where the connection is, that in the heart.
Oh, Doug, what was the connection? Was it the eyes for you as well?
Yeah, it was just all eyes and other things, too, or just a feeling about her. That, you know, when I met her, I was sitting at lunch and I saw her way across the room, and a friend of mine was talking to her, and I ran over in the middle of my lunch and kind of forced myself in there and said to my friend, said, well, aren't you going to introduce me to her? And so she did. And there was an immediate connection, of course, and we pretty much, you know, stayed together from then on.
Yeah, Doug told someone we married each other in those 4 hours that we were looking into each other's eyes, and that is how it felt. But talking about this, it's kind of a good entrance into some of the things that we've learned, because Doug and I have really been through it all. We've been through all the relationship stuff that everybody goes through, all of the anguish and the, you know, the isolation, the coming together, the having problems. And every time these things would come up, I would go into meditation and I would call out for help. And I was always given the most incredible experience of what it meant to lift up above the whole ego drama of relationship and to feel the truth of the heart. And I do my very best to bring that experience back and to put words on it. But, you know, it's beyond words. But I would come back, I would write these things down, and then I would read them to Doug, and we would really take them into our heart and do our best to begin to live them. But, it, you know, it was over many years that we really came to understand that what we were seeing in each other in these times of turmoil was what was still residing in our own hearts, our beliefs about relationship, our past pain. You know, all of us are familiar with some of that. But we came we were shown again and again that if we could open to it, we were connecting with the truth of our being in a way that really wasn't as much about this body, this man, and this woman, but opening to a level of life that was wanting to live through us and wanting to, you know, be fully expressed here. So I think a lot of times people look at the idea of twin flame or soulmate and they think that it means one person somewhere on the earth that you've got to search and search to find. But what we've come to realize is that it's about opening your heart to that greater love, and that, let's see if I can say this correctly or describe it in a way that's understandable. All life is consciousness, all life is energy, everything is fluid, and therefore when we become that conduit, we can bring through that twin flame energy into this existence with the person that's standing in front of us. And the more clear our heart is, the more that person reflects that purity. So that's been our journey together, is to come to that place where we have kept dropping the ego, transforming those old heart's beliefs, and opening to a new kind of love that is just so wonderful.
Sure. Well, one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to know that moment was, you know, just in case there's some, you know, it's for a selfish reason, you know. You know, I want to see if there's any indicators that God gives or that the universe gives you when you're in the presence of your twin heart flame, like maybe a firecracker or the light, or you know, lamps blow up or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
For some people, I think it's like that. I think we felt a real strong connection, but we've like Yael had said, we felt that in the, you know, there was a honeymoon period, and then we had to work through all the ego stuff and come back to a place where we felt connected totally in our hearts and in our spirits. You know.
Well, there's definitely a genuine nature and an authenticity about your energy that really intrigues me, and also about in your book, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, the Eternal Heart of Love, that I have here, that you've written, and that I encourage your the live listeners and the archive listeners to go to your website of circleoflight.net. That's circleoflight.net, and just go on there and just explore a little deeper the life and the work that is Yael and Doug Powell. You, if you don't mind, in your book you talk about love as a pathway to freedom. Can you expound on that?
Oh boy, that's a big exposition. That I could talk on that for a long time. Well, you know, part of this comes from my experience. Now, in relation to Jesus and Mary Magdalene, I am so honored to have been gifted with this experience with them, and to.
Well, what is, just to clarify a little bit for people that don't really know who you are, besides your worldwide audience, break it down like a two-year-old a little bit. Maybe I should have started off with, when did this relationship with Jesus and Mary Magdalene begin, and how did it come about? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I have been experiencing this mystical communion with, the word that I use is God, other people use creator, some people use goddess. It doesn't matter, because it's so far beyond words that the reason I was asked to use the word God is that we need to reclaim that word, because it has been, you know, so much has been attached to it. So my experience had been being lifted into those realms of light and of love, and just being bathed in it. And it wasn't personal in the way of seeing a being in front of me. It was more like personal in feeling the Creator's love and having that communion and receiving guidance and receiving joy. So as the evolution of that relationship happened, I began to experience communion with everything. I mean, communion with nature, communion with animals, communion with angels, and communion with the masters or other beings that, you know, many people have made contact with. And at one point in one of our workshops, Jesus or Yeshua appeared to me and said, I want to gift you with the transforming heart, which is essentially his heart of love that is made for bringing all of the reversal of love, the things that we experience that are not love, bringing those to God and reconnecting them into the truth. So I began working with people in that capacity, and every time Jesus would show up and he would, you know, speak to them, to their hopes, their dreams, their issues, their, you know, showing them things that needed to unfold. And so I developed a relationship with him that I really began to trust and to really feel his energy, see him in front of me as a being of light. And then last September, he appeared with his beloved, his twin flame, who is Mary, or was in that life. And they asked me together if I would record the story of their life. So that's how this came about. And so much like the communions with God or Creator, I go into meditation. But with them, it's like being taken on a journey, because I see as if I'm there. It's been wonderful for me because, as I mentioned to you when we talked before, I have a physical disability or limitation that has prevented me from traveling much at all for many, many years. So I'm getting to travel the world with them, and it's so real and so clear. But the biggest thing that I want people to know about that book is that the moment you start reading it, you are lifted into their vibration. It is just, it's really beautiful. I mean, even for me, and I experienced it, you know, originally, when I pick up the book, it's like, woo, I'm there. And you can really feel the glory of their love. So that was a bit of an exposition.
That is good. And Doug, is there anything you would like to tag on to this? Okay.
No, I think so.
Okay. I'm not quite sure where you want to, how to incorporate you. Well, you know, there's your role, Doug, in this is the masculine, the divine masculine, which balances the energy of the twin flame, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And before we get a little deeper, I want to break it down to the audience, to the people who really don't or are not familiar with some of this that of which we're talking about, twin flame. Can you really explain to us what is a twin flame? It is the heart. Is it the heart of Jesus, or what is it?
I think that the twin flame, our understanding of the twin flame is that we are two streams of the same energy, that it is when you are in that place in your heart where you're open and vulnerable, then your twin or that other energy appears in front of you. It doesn't necessarily mean a person. Your twin flame is actually a part of your own essence. But when you open to it, it can appear in another person. And as you open more to it, it opens the person, it can open the person you're with to become that. Some people might be together and feel like, well, this isn't really my soulmate. And we use soulmate and twin flames interchangeably sometimes. But a lot of times someone can really open to that energy and it can embody in that person that they're with. By that person opening and being more willing to share that experience with them. And I think that happened for Yael and I. Early in our relationship, as we said, was not all glorious, wonderful soulmate stuff. It was a lot of ego stuff. But as we opened to it, the ego started lifting and we began to see each other in a different light and experience each other in a different, deeper way. And
you know, you make mention of that a lot in the book, the Eternal Heart of Love, about life on Earth as an illusion and that we're living an ego dream. Yael, can you explain that a bit?
I would be glad to. You sort of faded out there for a moment, Anthony. Can you hear me okay?
Well, I can hear you fine. Sometimes I get a little carried away.
Well, let's see how to explain this. You know, I know you're part of the Law of Attraction Network, and the Law of Attraction talks about everything being God expressing. However, you are, of course, familiar with vibration and how there's vibrations that really are in accord with that glory, that love, that light, and there are vibrations that are, you know, much less in accord. So our understanding is that at some point in this explosion of life, that which we name humanity made the choice to believe in being separate from the Creator. And that manifested as life on Earth, or what we know as duality, that there's, you know, the belief here is that there's a possibility of love and the possibility of something other than love. And both of those are given power in the usual normal human life. So those things that are created out of that belief in two powers are the lower vibration of what we name the ego, or the illusion, the illusory mind, because it's not that vibration of glorious love, which is all God is, all the Creator is. That's the only truth. There's no other power. So it's, you know, when you get down in the vibrational scale into this place where there's strife and there's anguish and there's pain and there's fear, that's the illusion. That's not God. That's not the endless love that is the truth of our being. So did that answer?
I love it to death. We have a caller in the queue that I'm just going to go ahead and, is it okay to take a call?
Sure.
706, you're on live with Yael and Doug and Anthony on 6 Degrees. Well, maybe they're just listening, and that happens quite a bit. Love, you talk about sharing in your book, loving and serving, which I noticed that resonates throughout the book in a continual thread of for some reason. And you had an experience. Could you share your resurrection experience, Yael?
Well, I hate to be hesitant to share it, but it's so profound, and it's really going to be given to us by Yeshua and Mary in one of the upcoming books. So I really can't do it justice. I'm sorry to answer that way, but it just totally changed my outlook on what it meant, you know, the whole story of Jesus and the resurrection and my experience with that. So can I just say, stay tuned?
Absolutely. This is your show. Say again?
I promise to come back when that book comes out.
No worries.
Experience.
Well, so the whole theme of that, of sharing, why is sharing such an important element to existence and on
that
this earth?
That is a great, great question. And it goes right into the question that we just talked about before, about the illusion and the truth of God. My experience in this mystical communion that I've been participating in now for, well, gosh, I don't know, 30 years, and with the communion in writing for ever since Doug and I got together, everything I've experienced is that the whole cosmos is based on giving. It's the flow of love outward in increase continually. It's the explosion of life moving forth into that ever greater expansion of itself. There is not the energy of getting there. So that energy of getting and wanting to possess and hold, and all of that is part of the illusion. So I think that Jesus and Mary in the book talk so much about giving and about service because, A, of course, they had a big mission of service, but also because that's the truth of real love, and that's what they lived in. It's all about that outgoing energy of giving.
Doug. Sorry, I have a friend named David I was talking to today. Hello?
Yes.
How are you? I was wondering, in the as you all were putting the book together, it says, as revealed by Jeshua or Jesus through Yael and Doug, what role did you play in the manifestation of the Eternal Heart of Love, the book?
My role, because Yael is definitely the receiver, my role generally is in support of her. Her physical plane, because her disability, I'm pretty much the grounding force.
Mm-hmm.
We had quite a discussion about whether my name would be on these books from the start, and because I am not, Yael is the pen in God's hand, and I am not the scribe at all. Yet I do a lot of the groundwork. She feels like, Yael feels like it would not be coming through if it hadn't been for the evolution of our relationship to the point where we are now. And so I provide the support, as well as Shauna, our sister who lives here, Yael's sister who lives here with us, who does all the editing and all the busy work. I do a lot of the busy work, too, to get the books, you know, to publishing and printing and all that stuff. So it's really more of a support thing. And we had a discussion with a good friend of ours, Adrian, from Holland, about whether my name should be on these books because I don't receive them. Yael receives them. And Yael asked and got very clearly that it is us that these books come through.
Well, you know, I agree with Yael. No, I agree with her 100%. It's kind of like the news anchor saying that he's the only one making his face manifest on the 10 o'clock news, or any of these great performers on stage that are moving the hearts of millions and not recognizing the stage crew. So of course,
right.
Doug, we applaud you. And you do provide that grounding force, which is kind of the balanced energy of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. Is that, Yael, are you being like the shepherd for humanity, the way that Jesus was?
I don't see myself that way. I just see myself as being an open heart, an open conduit, so that I can bring through what each person needs, or, you know, that vibration. I feel like what I keep being shown is that, you know, each one of us has a role in this transformation that's happening on Earth. And our role here at Circle of Light is to hold the very highest vibration that we possibly can. So as we are given this light and we're given this love and this vibration that is so gloriously prevalent here and that I get to experience every day, and what we're shown about how to hold it, that's our part, is to hold that highest resonance, the highest that we possibly can, hold that vision so that it can be sort of like the entraining heart, you know. It can be the vibration that helps tune people's heart up.
Well, you know, we understand. Yeah, if you could, there's two elements that you spoke of right there, holding the light and entrainment. Can you kind of elaborate about a practical way to hold the light, and what exactly is it, entrainment?
A practical way to hold the light is, to me, well, there's probably two parts of it that most people are familiar with. One is to time listening, time in silence, time really making that time for the communion to happen. And the other is recognizing, and this is kind of the way we've come to express it, that there is a real difference between what we call the ego, you know, the little mind that's always talking and going on and building that identity of a limited human being, and the heart. And we keep being asked to shift to our heart and to recognize that the heart is an instrument of perception. That is how we are meant to see life, not through the two eyes of duality, the two eyes of the ego, but the single eye of the heart. And when you look at life through the single eye of the heart, then you experience the most incredible joy and love, and you experience people just as they truly are, as God standing in front of you, as the heart of God shining right there. So one of the things that we've worked with ourselves and with people is what we call heart perception, learning how to see the world through the heart, learning how to open your heart and stay in the heart and feel that vibration and learn that language of the heart. And Doug could talk about entrainment. That's definitely in his court. He's really good at that.
Years ago, I had a coach mentor who introduced me to a group called HeartMath. And HeartMath studied scientifically the organs of the body and discovered that the heart's electromagnetic field was 5,000 times that of the brain or any other organ in the body. And the concept of entrainment was also discovered through walking into a clock shop, and all the pendulums were swinging in unison, and they were wondering why that was. And so they went and messed with all the pendulums, and they discovered that all the pendulums would eventually swing in unison with the largest pendulum in the room. And so HeartMath understood that if you could live through your heart, that you would entrain the rest of your body, even your mind, to start seeing life through that window, through that experience, rather than, you know, the constant mental chatter that we all live in. And I guarantee you, I still live there. I haven't achieved this yet, but I understand the concepts of it. And I see how it affects me when I can do that.
Go ahead.
Well, if we hold the vibration, if we live in our heart and we hold that vibration, then that vibration becomes like a magnet and it entrains other hearts.
It attracts and entrains others around us, yes.
You know, there is a lot of science to the heart. You know, the heart is a huge, you know, they're even finding crystals in your heart as well, which is kind of
really?
Cool.
I hadn't come across that.
Well, oh. We'll go ahead and take one caller and then take a short station ID break. 941, you're on live with Yael and Doug and, Anthony on 6 Degrees.
Yes, hi there. I enjoy your show very much. I think I talked to you once before, Anthony, briefly, but I enjoy the wonderful talk. I just want to, I'm a type of thinky guy, so I'm Greek. We believe that the rational mind makes the world better by making a better choices, not just a psychobabble. I know I've become the enemy already. It doesn't take long to label somebody, but my opinion is that through our human heart, both the good and evil go through it. And there is a certain words that nobody can challenge. It's almost like in politics, you know. In the spiritual world, we use abstract things. And, you know, I think that the rational mind, by making a better choices, I think masters like Christ and Buddha did not just give us things from the heart, but they gave us working rational formula to make the world a better place. I really believe that, you know, a lot of times we put down the ego, and I'm going to leave you at that after that. The ego, to me, is what makes us all unique and beautiful. I would hate to get up in a world where everybody has no ego, everybody agrees, everybody's a total bliss, everybody's totally, you know, somehow meditating all the time. I'm into meditation. I'm a meditation teacher, actually. But in the same time, I'm a very rational being, and I see no conflict between the two, you know. You take it from here, but I think there's a lot of ideals there, just like the ideal of perfect happiness or perfect bliss, of perfect abundance. A lot of things selling a lot by going to the extreme into the irrational, but they're not practical in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. I definitely understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I feel like we are here to be the bridge of bringing heaven to earth and creating the new world, which is what you're aiming for when you're saying making a better world. But I do also feel like there is a part of the, what I name the ego, is the part of the mind that sabotages us, that is constantly setting limitations around our identity. And I do believe, I feel, I know from my experience that the Creator has made all of us a unique stream of light, a unique being, that we are a oneness, but we are also each. Pardon?
The ego does that. The uniqueness flows from the ego. Ego can be the worst thing for you. You know, the worst thing for you is ego, but also it's the best because it motivates us. You know, the fear that you're talking about that everybody hates usually is also the fear that helps us move into the future, develop technologies, and evolve into the world, you know. It depends how you look at things, I think. But anyway, take on, apologize for cutting into you.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you know, it's everybody has their own perspective, and I certainly honor yours. My experience has been that it's been my heart, it's been that spirit inside of me that has been my driving force and that has opened me into these experiences of beauty and love and joy, and that in that communion with spirit, that in that uniqueness has nothing to do with thought. When I'm in that experience of
wholeness.
Communion, wholeness, yes. There's an awareness, there's a flow between the Creator and myself that says, you know, you are precious and unique, and this form of light, this beauty is yours alone. We'll always have this relationship, and yet you are part of the whole.
Yeah,
but
sure.
When
what
I
I'm talking about, you're
the,
part of the whole. You know, you dance between two aspects of yourself, the wholeness and individuality, back and forth. And that's a beautiful concept that you're talking about, but I just don't like it when people demonize totally the ego, because the ego to the extreme, you're right. I totally agree with you. St. Augustine talked about the monkey. That's why we get the word from monkey. And Plato talked about the crazy captain in the mind, the constant warrior, and the thing that comes up. And I agree with you totally. And then we have to relax, meditate, or go into flow, to oneness, to holiness, and lose that preoccupation. I agree with you. It gives a sense of detachment from this world. I totally agree with you of going to the wholeness. It's a beautiful concept that most people should practice all the time. I totally agree with you. And that wholeness makes us all brothers and brings us into unity. I'm wholeheartedly with you. But sometimes I do believe there is something to be said. For example, I have a friend of mine, you know, that I was, he just graduated from Harvard. The kid was proud that graduated. Mm-hmm. The fact that he graduated from Harvard, and he was from a poor family, he went to Harvard, you know, and the pride is an ego product. But the pride, you know, I never stood on the unemployment line as a kid, you know. My Greek pride never let me stay there. To a way, a pride is a good thing, makes us self-sufficient. If you take it too far, it makes us into falsehood, where it destroys our lives and makes wars and destroys us altogether. But I totally am with you big time when you're talking about integrating both, because more people, they're not smart enough to have the wisdom to understand that we have got a flow between these two parts, this polarity of a condition.
Well, I think we could, you know, it's really, in some ways, it's semantics, because for me, I have an experience of consciousness that is very real, but is not, I don't know how to even explain it very well, but when I come back into that little mind, it's so limiting compared to. And see, that's just semantics. I call it consciousness, which is that freedom and awareness of what is real and the wholeness and the hologram, and then the limited identity of being a limited being. That's, to me, what that's the ego. But I do understand what you're saying, and it's hard to bring the light in.
I think what you're doing is a beautiful word. I think what you're doing is a gift to the world, and more people like you, because beyond your words, your spirit comes across as truly wholeness and unity person. There's a lot of words that we can put it in semantics, like you said. But Anthony was talking about something, and I was cutting into. Anyway, go ahead, Anthony. You were talking about something there.
Oh, no, it's okay. This whole conversation brings to mind, and I can kind of empathize with Yael, and I also empathize with you. Caller, what was your name?
Andreas.
Andreas, yes, you have called in before, and we appreciate your energy. Well, I had a vision of a dam. You know, the water behind a dam is kind of like the experience of God's love that Yael feels. And the kind of like the trickle of water that flows through that dam that people see on the other side, that they can touch and taste and feel, is kind of like the flow of the ego. And it's a necessary, the ego is very necessary for us to experience life here on earth as a free will entity. Because without free will, without ego, we can't exercise our free will, which is a great thing. This is just, I may be wrong, but this is just kind of how I see it.
You're right. You make a great rational point.
So, you know, this flow of consciousness that Yael speaks of, I mean, she experiences the universe. She experiences the love of God. And she tries to translate that through her concepts of the twin flame heart and to help people to really dive in, not just understand it from the intellect, but through their being, through reading this book. And it's the experiential of reading the book is where you taste that water on the other side of the dam. And when you taste that, you kind of teleport yourself energetically and through the spirit to the other side of the dam where you can dive and flow with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
certainly
I'm
using
job,
the mind to come up with words. So you are right. I mean, it is part of creating that bridge. And I acknowledge that. But
what are you doing is the most beautiful thing because, you know, you're right. I mean, we can live, when we live, you live only in identity-based ego existence and get attached to the beauty of the world too much. I don't want to go too deep with that. And then also, it doesn't help when we make ourselves the transition of life. As we get older, I think more trips into the wholeness. You can use the dam. You can use the clouds and the raindrops. You can say the wholeness are the clouds and the individuality are the raindrops that are falling as a rain into the field. But no doubt about it. You know, going back into the wholeness, and again, another wholeness makes you a kinder person, makes you more intuitive, more creative. I totally agree with it. I'm not against it. I think she's to be congratulated because she comes across as a kind heart and wise woman. Anyway, I just called to say hello because I enjoy your speech, my friend, and your talk, you know. But take care, Anthony, and the lady is a very gifted person, and I want to thank you for taking me and for listening to me for a few minutes.
Oh, you're absolutely. Thank you for calling in. And don't forget to pick up the book, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, The Eternal Heart of Love, on circleoflight.net.
Circle of Light, okay. I will do that, and I'll be in touch. And thank you very much for the lady. And, you know, I think we're talking about the same thing, but she's doing a great work. Circle of Light.com.
No,
okay, great, Tony.
Net.
Thank you. Bye-bye, my lady, and thank you.
Andreas, it's .net, not .com.
Excuse me? I'm sorry.
Circleoflight.net.
Okay, .net. Okay, .net.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Everybody thinks .com, but it's not. So
you're okay,
that's completely different if you do .com.
You're right. Yeah. this Greek is smart enough to understand that at least.
Well, it's great talking to you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Good job. Thank you very much. You are a gift. You both are gifts. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a very brief message. And when we get back, if you don't mind sharing with us and with the listening audience the remembrance of who we are, the remembrance of who we are, and we thank you so much.
Come aboard. Join us for a very exciting and transformative experience on Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation. All of our talk show hosts are inviting you to their workshops aboard Carnival Cruise Lines out of the Port of San Diego to Ensenada, located in Baja California. Three glorious nights aboard the cruise ship Elation as we depart on November 6, 2009. We will mix and mingle and learn together as our team of experts set out to take you on a mystical journey of transformation. You will understand how truly magnificent you are as you discover the awesome power of your connection to the field through sheer joy. We want you to come because through you, this knowledge will ripple out to the world. The entire three-day cruise is so affordable you can even request payments. Contact your favorite host and tell them to sign me up. Sign up today to reserve your spot. It's easy and affordable because it's how we're going to change the world through knowledge, joy, and pure excitement. So come along, join us as we learn, play, form deep new friendships, and become transformed. For more information, go to loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com. See you aboard the Elation on November 6th.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Anthony Bryce, Yael, and Doug on 6 Degrees. Yael, before we took the break, I really, really am interested in your purpose on this world. And a lot of it is articulated in your book. You're helping us to remember who we are. Who are we?
Well, I began when we were speaking with Andreas about that individuated spark of life. So who we are on an experiential level is...
Your voice has faded a bit. I apologize.
Oh, I put a headset on. Okay, hang on. I'll take it off. Hang on, Anthony. I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to get one over on me, huh?
I did. Okay, give me a second. Let me disconnect it here.
No, that's no problem. That's no problem. It's just a different vibrational resonance when people have on the headsets, and you can really, really...
Okay. Notice. Is that better?
There we go. Absolutely. More clarity. Go ahead.
Yeah, clarity is always good. Well, you know, again, it's that problem of words to try to describe who we are. The way that it has been shown to me is that we are the heart of the Creator. That there is, you know, I talked about how love is given throughout the cosmos, that is the only direction it goes. It's always flowing outward, always expanding, always multiplying. And it's like every part of creation is conscious. Every part of creation is held in a consciousness. That's what the angels are. They're holding different aspects of the Creator's light and life. That's what, you know, every being that we connect with is part of that, holding a certain aspect of the Creator. So we, humanity, and, you know, the expanded truth of our being, are holding that expression of love. So we are the vehicle of love. And when our hearts are open and we're really connected up, that's what we feel. And that's who we are, and love communicates through us, love lives through us, love multiplies through us, just continually blessing and making more of itself. So it's really an experience of ecstasy.
You know, Yael, love is, life is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all its manifestations, whether it's through suffering, whether it's through happiness or whether it's through death, the witness of death, you know, this experiential that we call life is love. And when we really dive into it from that level, from the heart, even our sufferings become joy.
Mm-hmm. That's well said. It's really true because everything feels so different. It's really, you know, again, we're back to that little mind or ego and the heart conversation. And it's the mind that has the resistance and that pushes things away and that evaluates them and says, this hurts, this is bad, I don't like it, you know. And as we shift into the heart, everything is instantly revealed in its wholeness, exactly what it's for, the purpose of it, how it's going to expand love. You just know the whole gestalt, the whole, because everything is holographic. So the heart knows instantly the whole picture, where the mind takes little pieces of it and, you know, chews around on it for a long time and sets up resistance and sets up limitations. So when I speak of the ego, that's what I'm talking about, is that mind that's constantly telling us, oh, we can't do this, and there is this limitation and there's that limitation, and we live in linear time and we can only do so much, and all of that is not true from the level of the heart and the energy field.
You know, that's so, you know, what you did just in expressing that sentiment, Yael, is validate the point, because I'm sitting here looking at this, the next question on the paper, which is the living hologram of love that God is. And you resonate, and you resonated that, you know. So there's no separation when it comes down to truth and conscious truth. There's really no separation.
And that's why each one of us has a communion with the Creator, because whether you're seeing it from the perspective of being a human being or you're experiencing it in that glory of the wholeness, every single tiny electron is the whole of the Creator. So it only makes sense that we can commune with that, that we have billions of relationships with that glory, that love. So,
well, doesn't everyone have this capacity if you're alive and experiencing?
Absolutely.
What are some of the, on your website, circleoflight.net, what are some tools that you help others to come to this understanding?
Well, one is what we call heart perception, which is learning, you know, practicing sinking into the heart, opening the heart, expanding it, and letting life speak through the heart and letting it resonate rather than thinking about it.
But isn't there a lot of trust involved there, and a lot of people have trust issues?
There is, and that's something that all of us get to face, is because this creation, this experience of life on Earth, grew out of a choice to believe that we were separate from the Creator. Almost every human being has trust issues about God. But to go back to our original topic of twin flames, the twin flame is a reflection before us of the Creator's love, of God's love for us. So until we mend our relationship with the Creator, then we can't really be open to the twin flame heart, the twin flame experience in all of its fullness. So trust is a huge one. But that, again, to me, is the ego. It's the ego that says, you've been hurt before, you've got a broken heart, you can't open to love. The broken heart is, I mean, continually, God has shown me, said to me, whatever word you want to use, there is no such thing as a broken heart. The heart is the heart of God. The true heart that is your real heart cannot be broken. It's the ego telling us that these experiences have done all these things to us that makes us afraid to love. So our work, in whether it's manifesting a twin flame relationship in our life or it's coming into that communion with life and with God, is to move past that fear and that belief and back into that trust with the Creator. And, you know, all of us, myself included, know personally that it's a challenge and that that's sort of the spiral that we all get to keep moving upward on is that coming to that place of total trust, and to just move back to the topic of the book of about Jesus and Mary. That is one of the greatest things that a person will get from that book, is the unbelievable trust of the Creator that they live in. I mean, they don't move without waiting for that love to move them, and absolute trust that wherever they put their foot, God's going to make the path they walk on. It's just, I mean, it's so profound.
Well, and it's a quality of life that that goes beyond words. I mean, we could talk, you know, we could talk about the latest movie, you know, all day until people go see it. They won't have that, you know. We can talk about that wonderful sunset, and unless they go to the beach and look at it, you know, it's just an impossibility to explain on air the immersion that you provide through not just reading your book, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, The Eternal Heart of Love, but also applying the principles on your website, thecircleoflight.net, that you've been working on for over how many years now?
Well, the communion with God that began to be recorded in words started in 1983. And then when Doug and I came together at the end of 86, it really started pouring out. I mean, it just exploded. But even before that, I've been meditating, golly, since 1971. So it's you know, I've spent a lot of time opening to this. But like I said, I also have walked all the steps of, you know, learning to trust and opening to that trust of the Creator, and again, you know, it comes around, and you think you've done it, and then you find that there's even a deeper level of trust yet. And as you keep opening, it just gets more magnificent.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left on air. Doug, is there anything you would like to mention? And I wish we could talk all night, but
we could. It's true. You're just so easy to talk to, Anthony.
Well, I just want to thank you for allowing us to join you tonight, and we hope that we can join you again another time.
I would love to, especially when the second book comes out. And yeah, I wanted to go a little bit more into detail of the story, this incredible, incredible story, because it's in the story that you kind of experience the depths of this love and this relationship that we're all in. You know, we're all in relationship, and that's, you know, even if it's a relationship with the light that's in this room, or a relationship with, you know, it's all about relationship. And
yep.
As you said, it's so beautifully, you know, unless you're in relationship with your own twin flame, you know, it's kind of hard to really experience life completely.
But it all starts with opening our heart to our relationship with our Creator, and that, you know, that shows us everything, gives us everything, including that twin flame relationship. But the greatest example of it, of course, of living it on earth, was Jesus and Mary. And it really does come through in that book. And I'm, like I said, so honored to be taking this journey with them, being shown how they felt, how they thought things, how, you know, it's very different than how we tend to see things through the veil of the ego. So it's a joy.
And thank you so much for putting that experience on to paper so I can taste and touch the stream of the dam.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much. Well, it feels wonderful to not only commune with you, but also to feel other hearts out there making the connection with us. So we just rejoice in the love that we all are together. So is this the end of our time?
Yes, have a great, wonderful, wonderful world.
Thank you.
Much love.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great.
Did you say something?
I just said thanks to you and thanks to everybody listening.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Have fun with your dad.
You know, I certainly will. He's downstairs waiting.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show of 6 Degrees.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.